Bibles, please turn to the book of Ephesians there in the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, around that area. And I just want to say that it's such an honor that we get to do this together as a church family to open the Bible. These are precious words from the Lord. They are redeeming words, renewing words. They are words that bring conviction and comfort. And our trust each and every week is that God would particularly apply whatever truth we might be exploring together to your heart individually. And we believe God has the power and will to do that. And every week, I don't want my will getting in the way of His. Maybe you find that true in your own heart, that you might have a stubborn heart or a hardened heart or just a deeply wounded one, and that at times can keep God back, in a sense, from working deeply in us. But we can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord with our hurts and our wounds. We can trust the Lord with our sin. He is all-sufficient at all times, eager to work in the lives of His children. And so I'm looking forward to just opening this passage together. We're in a study on the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit. And today we want to look at what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit from Ephesians 5. So let me invite you to stand just out of reverence for God's Word. We're going to read beginning in verse 15 to 21. Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, and giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is God's Word. Please have a seat. You know, I read a passage like this, as I've done many times, and knowing you, I feel that you would resonate with this passage, that each of us would say, we don't want to live foolishly in this world. We want to live with a heart of wisdom, as unto the Lord. We want to make the best use of our times. I've spoken to many of you and know in my own experience that the days are evil. There are some days that are so heavy you wonder if you're ever going to get through. We want to make the best of our time. We want to experience the joy that is promised by the gospel, that joy that seems to cut through and be present even in times of incredible trial and struggle. I know that each of us share that longing to have a deeper faith and a more abiding maturity with the Lord. I've prayed with many of you and just the defeat of sin in our lives and to experience some victory over these ailments that plague us and tend to hold on. I know some of you just desire a fruitful ministry to be instruments of grace in this world. And this passage leads us to the one who is able to give us these things that our hearts so long for. So my question to you this morning is, how desperate are you for this? How desperate are we when we approach the Scriptures for God to accomplish in our mind, our emotions, and will what He's calling us to, the truths that are put before us? And I hope that this morning we would share in that desperation. You might have a will that for whatever reason is just opposed or hardened, would you be willing this morning to be made willing? And if you're here and your heart is open to the Lord, then you have every comfort to know that God will accomplish in your heart and life what He promises in His Word. And so let me pray for us, just that the Lord would come and minister to us once again. So let's pray. Lord, how do we approach a passage like this where You're calling us to live under Your lordship in this world, to recognize that the days are evil, they're not neutral, to recognize our desperate need to be filled by Your Spirit. Lord, immediately we thank You for just contending with us, for being patient, that Your forbearance is beyond what we could even hope. We thank You for that. We thank You that You're a good Father, a good Shepherd. And Father, we pray that You would pursue us once again by Your truth this morning. Would You soften our hearts? Would You give us a will, Your will, Lord, to obey and to follow? And Lord, this call to be filled by the Spirit is so desperately needed, not simply for our own maturity and growth, but for the health of our marriages and families. To see the gospel lived and told in this world, to see conversions, to see changed lives, to see, Lord, people turn and recognize the wonder of Christ and the beauty of the gospel. All this is needed, and You call us to be filled with Your Spirit in light of that. And so help us this morning, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning we want to just explore, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? How are we filled with the Spirit? And then what does it look like that we are filled with the Spirit? So keep your Bibles open as we refer back to a number of verses in this passage. So number one, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Verse 18, look back at that verse with me. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The work of the Lord Jesus can only be seen in a person's life as the Holy Spirit fills that person. The work of Christ, which we hope to display as His children to the world, that in a sense we would be a window that people could look not only to but through and see Jesus. I long for that. I think we as a church collectively that people would see Christ, and the only thing that's going to happen is if the Spirit is filling us. Paul in Romans 8 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ in us. And this call that we be filled with the Spirit. And we need to make a clarification here at the beginning. The difference between the baptism of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit, they are not the same thing. Baptism of the Spirit is upon conversion. The baptism of the Spirit is permanent. This indwelling that God grants us by His Spirit. We can look at a few verses together briefly just to establish this. 1 Corinthians 12:13. You can see this on the screen behind me. For in one Spirit we were all baptized, brought into union into one body. Jews or Greeks, slave or free, comprehensive. It's to all. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. That is the baptism of the Spirit. Baptism, this union that we are granted as we come to know the Lord, as we become Christians. You are given the Spirit. You are baptized, brought into union with the Lord by His Spirit. We've looked at Ephesians 1:10, 15 a number of times, but it's worth looking at again. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, sealed, you were brought into union with the Lord, with the promised Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Spirit is something that is initial, it's a permanent indwelling, it's a uniting. We are not talking here about the baptism of the Spirit. The Spirit never leaves the lives of a believer. And God gives the Spirit in full. We are talking about a filling of the Spirit. So that begs the question, what does it mean to be filled? If God has given us His Spirit, and if He's given us all the Spirit, then what does it mean to be filled? Well, here's that example there in verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine. First, notice Jesus, through the Apostle Paul here, assumes our need to be filled. So, already we're seeing some understanding from the Savior. Assuming the need that we will be filled, that we won't always be filled, that we will battle and struggle. So first we recognize the right assumption that we need this filling, but what does it mean? Well, he gives this example, don't get drunk with wine. What happens to a person if they drink too much wine or alcohol? They become what? Controlled, intoxicated, taken over. And Paul is writing here not so much because there's a problem of drunkenness in the Ephesian church, but to give them an example of what it is to be filled. It's not to get any more of the Spirit, it's to be what? Intoxicated, as it were. It's to be controlled by the Spirit. Be filled. In Greek, the literal is be being kept filled. It is a present passive imperative. Present meaning now and the days to follow. Passive, which means that this is not something you generate from yourself, but is done in you. And imperative, it is a command. Present passive imperative. Greek scholar I was reading this past week says about this tense. And this is important because it's such an encouragement, I believe, to our hearts. The passive imperative, that is passive being something done in you, imperative in command. The passive imperative is a command directed to you in which you are not the active doer, but rather the cooperator. You are the recipient of someone else's doing, and yet you still have responsibility. And so we've talked about growth in the Christian life, what it means to walk with God. We have a responsibility to walk with God, and God enables us to do so. Salvation is all of the Lord, and as He changes the heart of a person, He enables them to walk with Him. So this be filled is be being kept filled. Be being to something that the Lord is doing to you, but put yourself in the position, surrender your will, submit your emotions under the Lordship of Jesus, grant Him your mind, be being kept filled, ongoing, a daily submission to God. Where daily I'm coming and recognizing, God, I don't want to die to myself today. In fact, I want to live to myself. You've got to come and help me crush my flesh. You've got to come and enable me to be controlled by your Spirit. And this is not something I just can sit back and produce on my own, that I can will this into being. I am in desperation of you to do that. And that's the sense of what it means to be filled with the Spirit, to be intoxicated or controlled. And this is a wonderful promise of experience with God. And I want to take it up, but man, I find my flesh so in the way. I find myself fighting against the call to die to myself daily. Because in some twisted way, I believe pleasing myself is better than pleasing God. I believe I'll be happier if I go my own way. Or even just dabble with the Lord a little bit, as long as He doesn't redirect me where I might want to go. We're talking here about an ongoing surrender, very similar to when we came to know the Lord. When you came to know the Lord, you put up the white flag. You surrendered it all. Because why? You were desperate. We have to bring that same desperation in here daily. And you might say that's impossible. It's impossible for us to live in that station of dependence at all times. Yes, it is, unless He works it in us. And so daily I want my attitude to be, Lord, I am coming just as desperate today as I was when I was converted. Most likely we all share this upon our conversion, that we weren't just walking to Jesus, we were running. You were running because you saw your need so clearly. It was right there in front of your face, and you were without hope except to run to Jesus, to trust in Him. That same desperation is called here, this daily dying. If anyone wants to follow me, he must what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Yes, that's true when we come into a relationship with Jesus, and it's true daily as we walk with Him. To be intoxicated, taken over by the Spirit, controlled. And maybe we hear that word controlled and we react against it because as it's lived out in our world, it can be a very ugly thing. To be controlled by the Spirit is to be led to freedom, to be led back to the good news, to be able to live in light of God's ways and means and promises, even though life before us might be screaming different messages to us. It is freedom to be filled with the Spirit. And unless we are, unless daily we're coming with that desperation to be filled with the Spirit, we often live in defeat and weakness and frustration and anger. And we all know that that's not the life that God has called us to. And it's so important for us to see that God enables us daily to live by His perspective. There's so many verses and examples in the Scriptures that point to this. I think about James 1 when he says, count it all joy. Consider it to your happiness. What? What should we be so joyful in? You're going through trials. Well, that doesn't make any sense unless the Spirit is working so deeply in us that we're able to have that experience of trials and challenge and joy, being filled with the Spirit. Another example we could look at, and I'll put this on the screen behind me, is from Acts 13. All through Acts, you'll see how the Spirit enables someone to live in a way that's not natural to them. It's supernatural. You get that, right? This is a supernatural living. Acts 13, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. This was Paul in Antioch. He went to the temple there, and they wanted to hear him, but once he explained a bit more, they're kind of like, I'm not so sure. So he turned to the Gentiles, people coming to know the Lord. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, the influencers. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of the district. Just pause there. So here's this wonderful ministry going on. People are being converted. People are being brought to that fork in the road to make a decision about Jesus, whether He's the Son of God, Messiah in the flesh. Many are, some aren't. And all of a sudden, these cranky people, influencers in the city, stir up a crowd and they chase out of town. Now, how would you react? I'd be frustrated. I mean, that was a fruitful ministry, just being taken away. Look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust from their feet against it. They didn't take it personal. They viewed this in light of the Lord and went to Iconium. They said, okay, we're moving on. And the disciples were what? Filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So how are you able to live in this world in a way that's not natural to yourself? To fight against frustration in the marriage. To deal with your children with truth and grace and gentleness. How are you able to maintain joy at work when there's so much political stuff going on that you just know is setting itself up against you and your own advancement? It's by the Spirit. And we can be in this way. And it's a fight. There's a reason in Romans 6 that Paul talks about killing the flesh. That's a strong word, but it shows how powerful the flesh can be, that old self. But the promise is that we're able to experience this joy and fellowship with God as His Spirit controls us. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity likens this to dressing up like Jesus, dressing up as Christ. And he said that's kind of the way that we begin the Christian life. The Christ life is not our life yet, but yet daily we're told to put Him on as a garment. And so we put on His values and we make His ambitions our own. We pray that His character would shine through it. We just put Him on. We dress up daily like Jesus and say, that's what I want the world to see. That's what I want my husband or wife to see in me. That's what I want to invite them with, to soften their heart, to bring forgiveness. That's what I want my embittered child to see after I've spoken harsh words or dealt with them harshly. That's what I want my neighbors to see, this endearing picture of Jesus, and in such a way that even next week when I invite them to Christ community, they might say yes, to be enabled by the Spirit. So do you want that? Do you want that? Are you desperate enough this morning? At the end, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask Alan to come up and just play for a little bit as we deal with the Lord, because our will naturally stands opposed to this. We've been made new, but our old self stands opposed to this. It doesn't want to give up control. Doesn't want to have new ambitions or new direction. So do you want this? Do you want this? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? So let's get really practical. How can we be filled? What is being controlled, intoxicated, taken over by the Spirit? How do we do this? Colossians 2, 6, and 7 is one of the most clarifying verses in terms of what it is to walk with the Lord. Look at it with me. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. How did you receive the Lord? Repentance and faith. Surrender. I mean, we could say it any number of ways. As you, what? So now walk with Him. As you, so walk. As you came to know the Lord in repentance and faith, it might not have looked that clean. I came to know the Lord at age 18. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad faithful to take me to church. I'm sure I heard the gospel 1,000 times before I was 18. But at age 18, in a chapel on the campus of Samford University, for the first time in my life, the Lord revealed, David, you're the one in need of forgiveness. And I remember calling out to the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm yours. Give me, take me, wasn't pretty, wasn't a pretty prayer. Just as you received the Lord Jesus. There's some common elements no matter how you came to know the Lord. One is desperation and the second is dependence. I was desperate. I remember I'm praying with one of my best friends. And in that moment, as he's praying, I'm realizing I don't have a relationship with God. And I just call out. I mean, it was a desperation. It wasn't just like, yeah, okay, I'll give this a try. No, when someone comes forward, they're desperate. And they lay on Christ full dependence for forgiveness, for eternal life. Just as you receive Christ, so now walk with him. That same desperation and that same dependence. That daily I wake up and I say, Lord, I can see it or even I can feel it. That self wants to rule today. I want to dress up like Jesus today. I want your spirit to take over and to intoxicate me, to control, to grant me joy and freedom, and that you might even bear fruit through my life. I would love that today, Lord. Desperation and dependence, daily. Desperation and dependence. Desperation and dependence. Galatians 2:20, this is repeated over and over in the New Testament. How self-will wiggled into this thought within the church that that's how you grow has nothing to do with the Scriptures. Paul says, Galatians 2:20, what? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been made new. Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh now, I live by what? Faith. Faith. Daily desperation, daily dependence. I live by faith. I don't have it in me, God, to walk in the way. I might not even be willing right now, but God, would you make me willing? Daily dependence. And help me to walk by faith. I don't see this before me. I don't feel this in me. But by faith, I walk this way. Daily desperation and daily dependence. And being controlled by the Spirit is essential. It's a command. It's an imperative that's given to us. And let me say this, and I'll repeat this. You have no hope follow any of the commands if you don't follow this one. You have no hope to follow any of God's commands, His precepts, His ways, unless you follow this one, because it is the Spirit working in you that does the work, that changes you, that enables you. We are so in need before the Lord. So daily what it looks like is me hearing from the Lord. Me, as it were, rolling out of the bed onto our knees. Just saying, God, in desperation already. I just confess it. I confess that I'm desperate today. Make me desperate. Make me dependent. Change me. Change my marriage. Change my children. Lord, do these things. So I've been reading C.S. Lewis this year, as I've said before, so a lot of my quotes and examples will be coming from him. In Screwtape Letters, which you might know of, a little story about a senior demon named Screwtape and his nephew, junior demon, Wormwood. So Screwtape instructs Wormwood, who's been assigned a new convert, how to discourage them, how to keep them from the Lord. There's a little passage in there where Screwtape says this. It's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. But in reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. I wonder how many of us daily read the Word and then just sit. And allow that truth just permeate our minds, that we would work through, how am I going to apply this today? I'm doing a series of devotions with my daughter for 42 days, and we are working through the book of John. And the other day, I'm in John 9. And I woke up that morning as desperate as I've been in a long, long time. And there's a passage in there that talked about a blind and a mute man. And the disciples, from a carryover of bad theology previous, said, God, Jesus, why did God do this? Parents, did he do this? And Jesus said, it's just that God would be glorified. And I took that and I was like, okay, today in this desperation, I've got to work this through. And this tells me that God, you are at work, that you're not absent, that you are with me, with the matters on my heart. And I today, in desperation and dependence, will follow you. Help me. Help me. Help me at the end of the day to put my head on my pillow with a clear conscience before you that I'm following you. We want to be filled with the Spirit, controlled by Him. And that's the way we do it with this daily dependence. You know, what Lewis says is so true. It's not so much maybe what we take in, it's just that we aren't even considering God's truth. We're not taking it to heart. We're not finding that it's living waters to us. So what are the results of being filled? What can we hope to see as we follow Jesus, as His Spirit intoxicates us? What can we hope to see? Wonderful things, just beautiful things that are supernatural. He fleshes this out, and there's a vertical aspect to this, and then there's a horizontal aspect to this. It's seen in relationships and seen in relationships with others and with God. Look at verse 19. So be filled, keep on being filled, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody to the Lord. Heart. Well, we speak to one another as we're filled. We speak truth, songs and truths. We experience real community and fellowship. And you do that when you're desperate. You value it so much when you're desperate. And filled with the Spirit, we get to experience that kind of community and fellowship. We speak truth to one another. We receive from one another. And then it says, not only are we doing that to one another, but it just kind of keeps going. Melody in your heart to the Lord. It leads to Him. So walking by the Spirit brings me into the very purpose for which I was created, which is to worship God. Isn't that where all believers want to be? The Spirit will take you there. The Spirit will take you to the throne of God and enable you to worship Him. Verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything. Goodness, is that possible? You look around and you want and you're frustrated that you don't have. Someone else has it. Someone else had a break or they got in a stock that you wish you would have gotten into. And your bank account's not as big as theirs or their family is in Cabo and you're in Helena. Giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. This deep gratitude to God. Thank you for daily bread. Thank you that I can open up my cupboard today and have any variety. Thank you that I can pick up the phone and call any number of people in my church family and pray with them and then pray with me. Thank you. Always. And then, verse 21, submitting to one another. That idea is so foreign. How in the world are we to submit to one another or defer? How in the world can I have a need and it's important, and you have a need and it's important, and in that moment go, your need is more important than mine? How can a church live that way? Enabled by the Spirit, submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus. Lord, this is all about you. I'm desperate. I'm dependent. In light of you, I'll defer. I'll make their cause more important than mine. I'll make their burden more important than mine. I'll say no to my selfishness and yes to your Spirit moving me towards someone else. How can we have health in a church? How can someone enter into Christ Community's church family and go, God is at work here? How can they see this speaking truth to one another and receiving and deferring and worship and all? It's if the Spirit of God is controlling us. And I know you because I know myself. This is a battle, and we have dryness, and we have seasons of doubt and discouragement. We're unsettled. We're weary. But let me just say this. Every feeling that way, every moment of dryness, experience of weariness is an invitation. It's an invitation to find Jesus sufficient by His Spirit. So I want to ask Alan to come. And I just want to give us time to submit our will to the Lord, to believe the promise that He will fill us, He will control us, and we'll be led to joy, we'll be led to purpose and worship and community together. And I want us to talk to God and deal with Him in this, and then Alan will lead us on out. Alan, you can just start playing whenever you feel. I'm going to pray. Lord, we just thank you that you don't save us and then just watch us find our own way. We'd truly be lost. We're your sheep, and you're a good shepherd. Lord, you promise your presence with us by your Spirit, and you give us the command to be filled, to submit our will daily in desperation to you, but we fight that battle so much. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for not believing your ways are best. They're freer. They're more joyful. Lord, in these moments that we have to pray and to call out to you, would you come and fill us? And Lord, would we daily take this call on? And may we see, God, in our own church, the fruit of this, and be spurred on and encouraged. Hear our prayer.
Let's all rise and sing and praise.